Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
The title of today's story is The Hungry Brahmin. It was now summer. The heat was intense. And one day in the morning, before the sun had appeared, Arjun went to Krishna and said,
Krishna, the heat is so intense. I say, let's go to the banks of the river Yamuna nearby and spend the day there. We can return home in the cool of the evening.
Krishna welcomed the suggestion with enthusiasm. They got Yudhisthira's permission, and they all set out for the banks of the river where there was a great forest. It was called Khandava. It was said that the rays of the sun could not penetrate into the place. So dense was the growth of trees. It was inhabited by wild animals and was the home of the serpent king Takshaka. There was something terrifying about the place of the forest. It had a strange fascination for the two friends. They camped on the bank of the river. It was cool and very pleasant to stroll along the banks of the Yamuna. Krishna had a special affection for this river, for it was this river which was part of his boyhood days. He remembered the place of his youthful pastimes, his family and friends, the sorrow of his separation from them. Years had passed since then, and with a sigh, Krishna shook off these thoughts of long ago which tugged at his heartstrings. The sun had reached the high heavens. It was almost noon. They had all finished their time there. The rest of the party was in the tents, Draupadi, Subhadra, and Satyabhama. Krishna and Arjun went along the banks of the river once again. It held them in thrall, that forest. It could be seen very clearly now. They sat on a tree trunk in a grove on the fringe of the forest. When they were seated comfortably, there came to their presence a Brahmin, a young priest. His form was glowing like molten gold. His beard was red, and his eyes were red. He himself was red, just like the sun risen. Krishna and Arjun got up and honored the Brahmin. He said,
I am hungry, very hungry. You must, both of you, satisfy my hunger.
And they told him,
Well, if you'll tell us what you want, we'll certainly arrange to have it prepared for you. And by the way, what kind of food do you like?
The priest smiled and said,
Ordinary food cannot satisfy me. I am Agni, the fire god, and for a long time I have been awaiting your coming. I have heard all about you. I know that you are the only two people who will make me realize my dream. I have been trying again and again to swallow this huge, big kind of a forest, but I have been so far unable to do it. Lord Indra, the King of Heavens, has a friend called Takshaka, who is the Serpent King, and he lives here in this forest. So, whenever in the past I've tried to burn it, this Indra sends down a heavy shower of rain, and I am unable to do anything about it. I know that you are both proficient in archery, and you are familiar with the divine weapons. If you undertake to ward off the rain by means of your arrows, I can burn and eat and consume to my heart's content. I beg this boon of you both.
Krishna and Arjun were amazed at this unusual request. They welcomed this adventure, and Arjun told him,
You are right about one thing. I have divine weapons, and so has Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, and I estimate that we can easily ward off the rain sent by Indra. But I have no bow powerful enough to be able to shoot off the weapons that I own. I need a strong bow, and it should be endowed with superhuman qualities to make our task easy. I also need a quiver from which arrows will flow endlessly. My chariot, too, is not quick enough or powerful enough for the task ahead of us. The horses must be the fleetest in the world if I have to succeed in this defense of the forest against none other than the King of Heavens. I assure you that I can help you if only you furnish me with the things that I have just now mentioned. As for Krishna, he is more powerful than all the weapons of the heavens put together.
Agni appreciated his arguments, and so he summoned Varuna, the lord of the oceans, and told him,
Varuna, you have with you a divine bow given to you by Soma, also two quivers which can never become empty. Please, can you give them to Arjuna? Also, give him a chariot with fast horses, for today Arjuna is going to perform a great deed with the help of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Please, give these things to Arjuna.
And so Varuna told him that he had already given them. He went and brought a beautiful bow for Arjuna. It was famed throughout the world and the other worlds by the name Gandiva. It was gifted with rare powers. No warrior who owned it could meet with defeat. It was so beautiful. Varuna brought two quivers of arrows. The streams of arrows from these quivers would be endless, and a chariot was brought. The flag was the emblem of Hanuman. Four horses were yoked to the chariot. They were white. They flew faster than the wind or even the mind. This was the chariot which helped the demigods to win the war against the demons. It glowed like a new cloud, lit up by the sun. The noise made by the chariot thrilled Arjuna's heart. Arjuna was then overcome with gratitude and happiness. He was humble before the demigods who had favored him. He made a pradikshina of the chariot. He took up the great Gandiva bow in his hand after saluting it. He strapped the two quivers to his shoulders, and he prostrated before Lord Agni and then strung the bow. The twang of the string was terrible, and it thrilled Arjuna as nothing else had so far. Agni gave the chakra to Lord Krishna and said,
With this discus, you can defeat anyone. No demigod will be able to defy you. The name of this discus is Sudarshan, and from these days on it is yours. In old days, this was the weapon with which you yourself vanquished the Daityas, and now it is coming back to you after a long absence.
Varuna then gave a mace by the name Kaumadaki to Krishna. Arjuna and Krishna were immensely pleased with their acquisitions. Arjuna ascended the chariot, and they spoke to Agni, saying,
Fully equipped as we are, with all the weapons that we needed, we can face anyone. Why should you be scared of Indra now?
And Agni, pleased beyond measure, assumed the form of flames and began the destruction of the great Kandava forest. Flames enveloped the forest on all sides. The noise of the burning could be heard to a great distance. The two defenders, Arjuna and Krishna, went round the forest taking care not to let any living thing escape from the burning flames. There was absolutely no chance of escape with these two, like messengers of death, keeping jealous watch over the forest. The fire had now reached a stage when it would not be possible to quench it. There was a great commotion in the heavens. News reached Indra that the Kandava forest was being devoured by Agni. The demigods went to Indra in deputation and asked him to somehow stop that fire. Indra could not believe that Agni had courage enough to defy him and his rain clouds. He wanted to see how it had happened. From the high heavens, Indra saw his own son Arjun and Krishna bent on helping Agni to destroy the forest. He decided to defend the forest from this onslaught. The sky was now dark with rain clouds, which collected fast. The rains came, but it was no ordinary downpour. If the fire resembled the burning up of the entire world at the end of time, the rains looked like the great deluge also at the end of time. Each in itself could destroy the world, but now they were aimed at each other. The world perhaps would be saved. Such was the intensity of both the forces of nature. The rain came down in torrents. The heat was so great that before the water reached the earth, it was dried up into stream. Indra was furious. He summoned his favorite clouds, Pushkala and Avartaka. The rain was now quite different. It looked like huge columns of water descending on the earth. Arjun was not worried, though. He built a blanket of arrows enveloping the forest on all sides, and not a drop of water could reach the forest floor. At the time of the burning, Takshaka, the Serpent King, was away from the Kandava forest. His son, Ashvasen, was caught up in the fire. He and his mother tried to get out of the forest, but Arjun would not let them. The mother said,
"My son, you must try and escape. I will distract the attention of Arjun, and you must escape then."
The son had to obey his mother. She rose up in the sky, and seeing her, Arjun killed her with three sharp arrows. Indra saw the state of affairs. He overpowered Arjun with a sudden deluge of water and allowed the snake prince to escape. Furious at the deceit practiced upon him, Arjun assaulted Indra. Indra sent all the divine weapons he had. He sent the Vayavyastra. A terrible wind blew, trying to put out the fire. But Arjun knew how to counteract this with another astra. The two defenders, Krishna and Arjun, were very angry. The fight was terrible. Indra now took up his Vajra to hurl it at these two who had dared to defy him. Looking at the anger of Indra, all the other gods took up their weapons to help him. Yamaraj with his mace, Kuvera with his reputed club, Varuna with his noose, Rudra with his trident, were all there intent on destroying these two personalities who had the audacity to fight with the King of the Heavens. The sages and saints who had assembled there watched the fight with amazement. Indra was immensely pleased with his son Arjun, and the fight went on. So did the burning of the forest, and neither showed signs of abating in fury. A voice from the heavens spoke,
"Indra, you must desist from your attempts to stop this fire. Your friend Takshaka is not in the forest. You have also helped his son to escape. It is not possible for you to defeat these two personalities. They are Nara and Narayan. They are invincible. It will be better if you stop this unnatural war with your son."
Hearing this, Indra gave up fighting, and he came to Krishna and Arjun and said,
"Together you have today achieved a feat impossible even for the gods. You can ask any boon of me. I am so pleased with you."
Krishna shook his head gently and stood aside, smiling. Arjun was excited at the sight of his own father, and he fell at his feet and said,
"Father, please, I ask the boon that you give me all the divine weapons that you have in your possession."
And Indra told him,
"Surely I will give them to you. But the time is not ripe now. When the Lord of Lords, Shiva, gives you his supreme Pashupata weapon, then I will follow suit by giving you my weapons."
and Indra went back to his heavenly abode. There was a demon called Maya. He was caught in the flames. He was trying to get out of the fire, and Krishna saw him and raised his own weapon to destroy him. Maya, frantic with despair, rushed to Arjuna and fell at his feet, and he begged for mercy and pity. And Arjuna said,
"Don't be afraid. I will protect you and you will not be harmed."
Krishna allowed him to live since Arjuna had granted him life. The fire raged on for hours. The entire forest was burnt to ashes. Agni went to the two friends and said,
"I am now satisfied. With your help, I've been able to realize my dream of the last so many years. I have been able to do the impossible with your help and blessings."
He blessed them and disappeared from their sight. Krishna and Arjuna walked towards the coolness of the river Jamuna. It was very welcome. The cool breeze comforted their tired limbs. The episode of the Khandava seemed like a dream now. So refreshing was the breeze blowing from the waters of the river. The river comforted them like the caress of a mother. They were there for a while, and Krishna and Arjuna got up from the tree trunk on which they were sitting. They thought of returning to the camp, and from there to Indraprastha. It was time to go and make preparations for the return. The sun had reached the western hill. The evening clouds were lit up like lamps at a feast, and soon the tropical night would suddenly descend on them like a cloak. Krishna and Arjuna had left the tree trunk and were walking towards the camp, and suddenly they heard the voice of the demon Maya. He fell at their feet and said,
"I have been granted my life by you. My name is Maya, and I build things for the demons. I want to show my gratitude in some way. I want to do something for you in return for my life."
Arjuna smiled at him and said,
"I am happy I did this for you, Maya. I don't want any benefit from you. It's my principle not to get anything in return for any good deed of mine. You are not under any obligation to me. We are now good friends, and I'm simply satisfied with that."
He turned to go, but Maya was adamant and said,
"It is but fitting that you should talk like this, like a noble soul. And I'd like to say that I do not want to do anything in return for your kindness, but I do want to do something to show my gratitude."
Arjuna was still unwilling to accept something from him, but he saw that Maya was sincere. Arjuna thought for a while and said,
"I will not accept anything for myself, but at the same time, I want to accommodate you. So here's a solution. Do something that will please Krishna. That will at once please me."
And Maya looked eagerly at Krishna and waited for him to speak. Krishna, who is none other than Lord Vishnu himself, had been born on the earth for the purpose of establishing religious principles. Krishna knew that the time had come when the world had to be shaken out of its complacency. He was Narayan, and Arjuna was Nara. They had taken birth on the earth for a purpose. Mother Earth had complained to him that she could not bear the burden of sin any longer. He had assured her that he would come to help. In his mind's eye, Lord Krishna saw the future of the world. He saw the battlefield of Kurukshetra strewn with the bodies of the kings of the world. He saw the end of the Kuru dynasty. Krishna thought of all these things and decided to begin the act of destruction. Krishna appeared to ponder for a while and finally said,
"Maya, you say that you are a great architect. Maharaj Yudhisthira is very dear to me. I will be pleased if you build a palace for him. This assembly hall must be unique. If you can do this for Yudhisthira, it will please myself as well as Arjuna.
Maya was very happy at the thought that he could do something for them, and he planned in his mind's eye the assembly hall that was to be built for King Yudhisthira. They reached Indraprast. They related the exciting events of the day to King Yudhisthira, and they presented Maya to him and told him about the palace that he wanted to build. Yudhisthira welcomed him to the city and honored him. Maya was very pleased with himself. He discussed the plan of the palace with the Pandavas and Krishna. On an auspicious day, Maya began the construction of the great palace, known in after times as Maya Shabha. Maya was busy with the preparations for the building of this palace, and he approached Arjuna and said,
Arjuna, near the great mountain Kailas in Mainaka, there's a lake called Bindusarova. In that lake I have buried vessels filled with many precious gems. Now I want to use them for the assembly hall which I am going to build you. I'm going to go there and fetch them straight away. I have a club also there which will be liked by Bhima. And there's a conch there called Devadatta, which I will give as a present to you.
Maya took leave of Arjuna and went to the mountain Kailas. Bindusarovara was the sacred spot where the river Ganges was released from the matted locks of Lord Shiva. She had to flow drop by drop, thus giving the name to the lake. From this lake she flowed as seven streams, three toward the east, three towards the west, and seven streams followed Bhagirath. The place was holy because it was in the neighborhood of this lake that the sages Nara and Narayan performed their penance. Maya reached that place, and he took all the gems that he had stored there. He took the conch, and he took the mace. He had several hundred slaves to assist him in carrying the gems to the city of Indraprast. He came back to the city and gave the mace to Bhima. Devadatta the conch was given to Arjuna. Maya began the construction of the assembly hall. He wanted to make it the most beautiful palace that ever was seen on the earth. It took him 14 months to build. It was indeed a remarkable creation. It excelled even Sudharma, the palace of the King of Heaven, in its splendor. In the garden, flowers bloomed in season and out of season. There were lotuses, jasmine, kuravakas, shishiras, tilaks, and kadambas. These flowers were typical of only some seasons, but in the Maya Shabha, they were all blooming together. The walls of the hall gleamed and glistened with precious gems embedded in them. It was built so cleverly that one could see only the glow from the gems and not the gems themselves unless one looked for them. Maya went to the Pandavas and told them that the assembly hall was now ready. He gave them the tour. He showed them the peculiarities of the great hall, and they were speechless with amazement. Maya was then ready to depart. He then blessed Arjuna, telling him to be victorious and always happy. Maya and Arjuna embraced each other. Yudhisthira honored Maya with many gifts and then bade him farewell. On an auspicious day, the Pandavas entered the assembly hall. Gifts were distributed profusely to the poor and to the saintly people. There was a great feast, and the city was like the city of King of Heaven, Indra. The fame of the palace spread far and wide. People from all over the world came to see it. Saints and rishis came from distant hills to see the assembly hall. All the kings came, except the sons of Dhritarashtra. The Pandavas were very happy. Kunti was now sure that her sons were well established and secure. They were quite powerful. It was not possible for anyone to harm the sons of Kunti. She thought of the days following the burning of the house of Lakh, of the months spent in Ekachakra where they had to beg for food. All those dark days were over. Their sun had risen. They were safe, secure from the evil thoughts of Duryodhan and Shakuni. This peace was the lull before the storm. No one could know about it. Hardly a few months more, and the Pandavas would again wander over the face of the earth.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.